Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Tailgate Domain, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgie, and I love both of those things, too. Welcome to the show. It's a beautiful spring Sunday, at least here in the great state of Maryland today. I hope you are having a great day yourself. We've had a big sports weekend, a lot going on, more in the pro realm than the college realm, but I got some college sports thoughts. We're coming off the NFL draft, and I have a thought around that more related to college football than it is winners or losers from an NFL perspective or anything like that. I've been thinking about the 2024 college basketball season, thinking about it in totality, thinking about what we learned, and thinking a little bit how we can apply it to the 2025 season and those national championship future odds that are out there. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that today as well. But first, a reminder, you can find me across social media platforms, all at the same handle, at Gorg on Sports. If you like the show, appreciate if you give me a follow across those social media platforms, at Gorg on Sports. Okay, so we're coming off the NFL draft, and the NFL draft is unreal. What an event it's become. It's first round, primetime Thursday night. It's aired across three networks, ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network. It typically, and I haven't seen the ratings yet this year, but it typically outdraws whatever live sports it's going against. The MLB regular season, of course, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, whatever. It outdraws all of it. I talked a few weeks ago about how Ohio State's spring game being on Fox really represents how big college football is, how important it is culturally in this country. Well, the NFL draft and the fact that just watching football players be selected is more interesting to people than watching playoff sports do or die situations. That just shows how culturally important the sport of football is in this country. And I was watching the draft. I was flipping between the draft and some of these playoff games on Thursday night. And looking back now, we're through the draft in its entirety, but something from the first round really got me thinking. And if you're a college football fan, if you listen to this show, it will come as no surprise to you that LSU had three offensive players drafted in the first round. Quarterback Jaden Daniels went number two overall to the Washington Commanders. Wide receiver Malik Nabers went number six to the New York Giants. And then a second wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., went number 23 overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So the quarterback and the two top receivers were all in the top 23 of the NFL draft. And if you listen to this show, you also know that while they had an unbelievable offense and Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy, LSU had a relatively disappointing season by LSU standards. They went 9-3, and their defense was downright atrocious at times. If you watch that Ole Miss game, that Ole Miss LSU game back in early September, you have this lasting image of Ole Miss's secondary just getting, or of LSU's secondary rather, just getting torn apart. Same thing if you watch the opening week game against Florida State. That was that big time, prime time matchup with Florida State, and LSU secondary was torn apart. So this was just a reminder for me on Thursday night of how good that LSU offense was, but also of how disappointing the season really was for having such an outstanding offense. And I'm, of course, not an LSU fan, and I'd love to get some LSU fans' perspective on this. But I started thinking, you know, how will LSU fans and how will college football fans as a whole remember that 2023 LSU season? Will you remember it because of that prolific offense that seemed to score at will, Jaden Daniels' Heisman Trophy winning season, these three offensive skill position players going in the first round of the NFL draft, putting up 50 points seemingly on everybody? Or will you remember the fact that they went 9-3? If you're an LSU fan, was that a disappointing season? Will you remember it fondly? Or will you remember it more as a what could have been if the offense had been better? How will you remember that season if you're an LSU fan? And I feel like how LSU fans and how college football fans as a whole will really remember that 2023 LSU season depends on what happens over the next few years in that Brian Kelly era. To me, it's unfathomable that LSU could ever have a defense as bad as it was. We're talking about LSU. They're known for great defense. It seems like half the DBs in the NFL came out of LSU. This is the program that was part of that 9-6 game against Alabama, one of the games of the century back when it was played. What was that, 2011? It was a game of the century. I think that was one of the first games of the century. And we still got a while to go in this century, but it was billed as the game of the century. And then they had that national championship BCS rematch that season. But that was the kind of football LSU played for a long time. LSU for a long time was a program that struggled to find a quarterback. And things seem to have flipped since that Joe Burrow 2019 season, and now Jaden Daniels wins a Heisman Trophy. But for the longest time, it was like LSU has this unbelievable defense. They always have receivers, but they don't have a quarterback. So it's unfathomable for me that LSU could ever put a defense on the field that was as bad as it was last season. And I really think how last season, 2023, LSU, they go 9-3. Jaden Daniels wins the Heisman Trophy. They put up prolific offensive numbers. I think how it will be remembered depends on what happens next in the Brian Kelly era. After last season, LSU cleaned house on the defensive side from a coaching staff perspective. They are going to essentially have a completely new defensive coaching staff going into next season. And if LSU is able to kind of get back up to standard, get back up to par, then, and eventually, and I'm not saying this year because, look, they're replacing a Heisman Trophy winner, they're replacing these two first-round wide receivers. Garrett Nussmeier, who will be their quarterback this season, is largely unproven. So I'm not saying that they win a national championship this year, but let's say they do make the college football playoff, the new 12-team playoff. Last year, they finished, I think, something like number 12 or 13 in the final college football playoff rankings. They wouldn't have made the playoffs. It would have been just out under the new system with the way it's set up for the champions and the highest-rated teams after that, and so on and so forth. But they were close. So let's say they, you know, improve defensively, make the playoff this year, and they were number 13 to end last season in that final CFP playoff ranking. If they were to make the playoff this year, great step forward, right? Their defense improves, and then within the next couple years, they go and they win a national championship, because basically everybody who coaches at LSU does seem to win a national championship. at least over the last 20 years. And that's a fact. That's true. Nick Saban won a title. Les Miles won a title. Ed Orgeron won a title. And I do expect that Brian Kelly will win a title because of everything that LSU is and the access to talent and commitment to that program. I do think he will win a title. And if he does, I think LSU fans and college football fans at large will remember 2023 as kind of this fun year for LSU where they were just so explosive offensively, and they'll remember Jaden Daniels' Heisman Trophy winning year. But if they don't get that defense back on track, and maybe they can't find a quarterback, maybe Garrett Nussmeier isn't the guy this year, maybe they struggle to get the right guy going forward, maybe the defense doesn't get back on track for whatever reason, and they're, you know, now in the SEC, there's not going to be divisions. You got to just be in the top two of this 16-team behemoth monster of a conference with so many great programs in it, and you add Texas and Oklahoma. You don't have that check mark that you can win the West, which was hard in itself, right? If they don't get things together and they don't make really win a national championship, I don't think that just not winning, not going to SEC title games, maybe finishing like fourth in the league, making the playoff and bowing out in the second round is going to do a lot for the appetite of LSU fans. If they are around that and Brian Kelly doesn't take it up a level and doesn't win a national championship, I think LSU fans and college ball fans as a whole will look back at it more as a season where LSU had the best offense in the country, but they just couldn't do anything defensively, and they'll view it as a real missed opportunity. So I just think that's interesting when you think about how we remember teams, how we remember players. It's not always just about what they did. It's about the context of what's going on with their head coach, what's going on with the program, what happens after they leave. And I think Jaden Daniels' legacy and the legacy of that team will largely be defined by what happens next for Brian Kelly at LSU. Let's move into a little bit of basketball today, because I was thinking, and I always think right after a season ends is a great time to think back to the season that was. There's a lot of personnel moves going on right now in college basketball with, of course, the transfer portal and guys making stay or go NBA decisions. And there's a lot of news happening right now. So I always think it's a good time to kind of look back and see what we know, what we could learn from the season that was. And looking back, UConn really dominated it start to finish, right? But I thought Purdue, who they beat in the national championship game, had a very impressive season as well. I think any question about Zach Edey and Matt Painter and what they can do were largely erased by getting to that national championship game. And UConn just was the best team in the country. Nobody was close to them. I don't blame Purdue for not being able to beat them, because nobody could. Nobody could stay with them. Nobody could stick with them. So UConn was the best team in the country, but Purdue had a great season. Houston had a very nice season, and it was unfortunate for Jamal Shedd that he got injured in that Sweet 16 game, and we'll never know what could have happened. So there's a bunch of teams that had very nice seasons, and when I look back, I'm trying to figure out what do these teams kind of all have in common. So the four number one seeds from last year, UConn, Purdue, Houston, and North Carolina, every single one of them returned their starting point guard from the 2023 season, and every single one of them had a starting point guard who was a high usage guy, who was a critical player, who was much more than just a role player. UConn had Tristan Newton, the most outstanding player of the Final Four. Purdue had Braden Smith, who I think was easily the team's second best player after Zach Edey, and he made tremendous strides from his freshman to sophomore year. At Houston, you had Jamal Shedd, who was the heart and soul of that team, one of the best players in the country, one of the best leaders in the country. And at North Carolina, you had RJ Davis. Those are four really strong point guards and very clearly top-tier guys on their team. That's something that I was starting to to see. And it's, look, I mean, that's nothing new in college basketball. Really good guard play usually is what wins. It's usually what's effective. But we've seen a lot more big-time big guys over the past few years with the way the NBA game has changed. Because when you think about Purdue, you don't think Braden Smith, you think Zach Edey. So I started looking a little more, and I looked at the two seeds, Tennessee, Iowa State, Marquette, and Arizona. And I found that, basically, it was the same thing. Tennessee had Zakai Ziegler, who they returned. Iowa State, Taman Lipsey, made a very nice jump from his freshman to sophomore year. Marquette had Tyler Kolick, and he was the heart and soul of that team. He was clearly the best player on that team, and he got a little banged up at the end of the season, had to miss the Big East tournament, which was unfortunate. And then Arizona did not return a point guard, but they had Caleb Love, who transferred from North Carolina. So of the one and two seeds, the eight teams there, seven of those eight returned their point guard from the previous season. I think that's a really big deal. And then when you look at the final four teams, it was UConn, Purdue, Alabama, and NC State. And we already talked about UConn and Purdue. And for Alabama, Mark Sears, who was their starting point guard, he played a little bit more off the ball next to Javon Quinterly in the 2023 season, but he did come back. He was in that backcourt, and he came back for 2024. And then NC State, you can throw that out because they were a very transfer-heavy team, and they do not fit this mold here. But we got seven of the eight top two seeds, and then three of the four Final Four teams return their point guard from the previous year. So I thought that was interesting. And when I'm looking at 2025 national championship futures, I think it's something I really want to take into account. And when you take a look at those futures, Kansas right now is the favorite anywhere you look. They're 10-1 at FanDuel. I think they're the same thing at BetMGM. They're the same at DraftKings. For some reason, my BetMGM window closed here and I don't have it up. But yeah, they're 10-1. They are 10-1 anywhere you look. They are the favorite, and they are the favorite for good reason. Hunter Dickinson announced he's coming back, and I think he should be the favorite to win National Player of the Year. DeJuan Harris, their point guard, is coming back. And then they add this monster transfer class where they get Rylan Griffin from Alabama. They get A.J. Storr from Wisconsin. Riley Kugel from Florida. They are adding big-time pieces to this team, to an already very good but not very deep team. They are building what looks to be a monster, and I like the combination for them, and because they have these returning guys in Dickinson and Harris, but they're also adding big-time transfers, and they're also adding some big-time high school players and two top 50 guys. So there is going to be quite a collection of talent in Lawrence, Kansas next year. I don't see any way they shouldn't be the favorite to win the national championship, and I think they're priced pretty appropriately at 10-1. But I am rarely, if ever, going to be betting the favorite for next season in April, May, June, July, August, September, even October for that next college basketball season, unless it is just ridiculously priced for some reason. But I don't think it is at 10-1. I think that's about right. I think Kansas deserves to be the favorite. And I think Hunter Dickinson should be the favorite to win Naismith Player of the Year next year. Duke is another team that's right there. They're 12-1, and it's in large part because of the monster recruiting class they have coming in, which is led by Cooper Flagg, who is a phenomenon. He's an absolute phenomenon. He's out of Maine, which is unique, and he is a guy that, if you follow recruiting at all, you've heard about for years and years. And John Shire continues to put up these monster classes year after year. But do you know who they lost? They lost Jeremy Roach, their starting point guard. I think Duke is going to have a lot to figure out over the course of the season, and it might take them a while. I think they'll probably get it figured out. I think they have an abundance of talent, but I hate the fact for them that they lost Jeremy Roach. I think that's a really big deal. Jeremy Roach is a guy who's been there for a while. He would have been a fifth-year guy. And I think having a guy like that, especially at the point guard spot, really matters for a national championship contender. And you'll look at Duke this year, they never seem to really find the gear they needed to win a national title, to get to a Final Four. They were close. They got to the Elite Eight, but they fell to that NC State team. They weren't consistent, and they just didn't. This was a team that had sophomores on it. It wasn't just, it had highly rated sophomores. They had an experienced guy in Jeremy Roach. It wasn't this freshman Fab Five deal like they're going to have this year. And I just don't think at 12-1, like if you like Duke, they're probably going to lose some sort of WTF game early in the season, and their odds are going to skyrocket because that's what young teams do. So I would absolutely not take Duke right now at 12-1. I'm not taking Duke. A team I really like because of who they return in their backcourt is North Carolina. They got RJ Davis coming back, which is huge. They have Elliot Cadeau coming back. They have Seth Trimble coming back. They are returning a lot in their backcourt, which I think bodes very well for them. RJ Davis is one of my favorite players to watch in the country this year, and I'm excited for him to be back at Carolina. They, of course, do lose Armando Bacot in the front court, but I love having those guards back for North Carolina. For now, at 16-1, I am staying away from it, though, because if you look at like what the odds were before the NCAA tournament, North Carolina was 13-1. They were a one seed, and you could have gotten North Carolina at 13-1 before, you know, March whatever, 17th, 18th, I don't know. I don't know when the tournament exactly started. Selection Sunday was the 17th, so on March 17th, you could have gotten them at 13-1. I don't really want to have my money tied up for the next, I don't know, 11 months on a bet on odds that are not significantly better. So for now, I'm staying away from that. There's one bet that I am putting in right now, or I've already put in, and I might put in more, but this is the only one that I have put in at the moment. I'm sure I will put in more because this is the kind of odds and this is the kind of team that I'm really interested in for this upcoming season. I got Iowa State at 30-1 to win the national championship on FanDuel. Or I'm sorry, not on FanDuel. I got them on BetMGM at 30-1 to win the 2025 national championship. And what I like about this Iowa State team, this Iowa State team was a two seed this year. They won the Big 12 tournament. They were within a game, I think. I think they were just a game back. They were two games back of Houston in the regular season in the Big 12. This was a very strong team. They ultimately ended up falling in the Sweet 16 to Illinois. But this was a good team. They finished the season number 8 in KenPom. They were, by and large, no matter what way you want to measure it, throughout the season, they were a top 10 team. They had the best defense in the country. And they return a ton. They return all the guys you would want to see return. They return Taman Lipsey, their point guard, who made a massive jump from his freshman to sophomore year and now comes back for a third year. They return Keyshawn Gilbert. They return a freshman I loved, Milan Momcilovic, a guy who you can't watch him and not think Dirk Nowitzki a little bit. He's got that fadeaway. He seems to hit big shots. They return those three guys, and those are three huge pieces from a team that had the best defensive efficiency in the country last year, a team that made massive strides from 2023 to 2024 in terms of their offensive efficiency, and they've made strides every year that TJ Otzelberger has been the head coach there in terms of their offense. The defense has never been a question. They've had a top 10 defense every year at Iowa State. But his first year there, they were a 171 in adjusted offensive efficiency. Then they went up to 114, and then last year, just outside the top 50, at number 52. Prior to last season, the three-point shooting was a big question. Well, last year they shot 36% from beyond the arc. It was much, much better. And I think this is the kind of team that could take another leap going forward next year, especially with Gilbert, Lipsy, Momchilovic back. They also returned Curtis Jones, who was a big part of that team last year, and I like the fact that he's back. So at 30-1, I really like this Iowa State team, and I'm willing to have my money tied up for a little bit on them, even though we have 11 months, essentially, until next year's NCAA tournament. I like this Iowa State team. If you look at this year's tournament, you would have gotten Iowa State at 18-1 on Selection Sunday when they were a 2 seed. And I don't see any reason why they are not going to be a 1 or 2 seed again. I think them and Kansas will be right there at the top of the Big 12, battling it out. And I think both of those will be top 8 teams in the country. I expect their defense to be there because their defense is always there. And I think there's a good chance that that offense could take another giant step forward like it did last season. So at longer odds, 30-1, I'm putting a half unit down on Iowa State right now in April to win the 2025 college basketball national championship. That's our show for today. Enjoy the spring weather, everybody. Enjoy some college baseball. Enjoy the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, a lot going on in the world of college sports. And I'll continue to be here talking college basketball, talking college football as we go through the spring and summer and we look ahead to next season. Until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.